यत् फलस्त्वं यदात्मकः एकः सृजसि भूतानि भूतेरेवात्ममायया this. Yat vijnanaha, the source of knowledge. Yat adharaha, under whose protection. Yat paraha, under whose subordination. Tvam, you. Yat atmakaha, in what capacity. Ekaha, alone. Sajasi, you are creating Bhutani, the living entities. Bhutai, with the help of the material elements. Eva, suddenly. Atma, self. Mayaya, by potency. Translation and purport Vaishala Prabhupada. Translation. My dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? Purport. It was known to Sri Narada Muni that Lord Brahma attained creative energy by undergoing severe austerities. As such, he could understand that there was someone else superior to Brahmaji who invested Brahma with the power of creation. Therefore, he asked all the above questions. Discoveries of progressive scientific achievements are therefore not independent. The scientist has to attain the knowledge of a thing already existing by means of the wonderful brain made by someone else. A scientist can work with the help of such an awarded brain, but it is not possible for the scientist to create his own or a similar brain. Therefore, no one is independent in the matter of any creation, nor is such creation automatic. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathamitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धवेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वांट टू एक्सप्रेस माय ग्रेटिट्यूड फॉर गिविंग द अपॉर्चुनिटी टू सिट and speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a chapter that is entitled The Cause of All Causes. And here, Srila Narada Muni, who is the son of Brahmaji himself, is asking question about his ability to create. The creation that we see around us and us all together is actually created by Brahmaji. That's how it is explained. And here, the creation by Brahmaji is so smooth and so elegant in one sense, and so natural that it appears that he is the cause of all the creation. Narada Muni is therefore asking this question. He has this doubt in his mind that, are you the real creator? There is somebody who has created you. This doubt has arisen in his mind because he saw that Brahmaji was doing some tapasya. You know, if somebody can create on his own, why was he doing tapasya? Question comes like that. So it is explained when Brahmaji was created, and Garbhadaksha Vishnu is lying and the lotus flowers stemming out of his navel, and on that lotus flower Brahmaji was created, right? We have seen that picture. So when Brahmaji was created, actually he was confused who he was, where he was. And I have heard in some of the classes that he was actually going up and down the stem, that lotus stem, to understand who is he and what is his existence, what he is doing, what is the purpose. Nothing was clear to him. At that time he heard the two words, tapa, some transcendental sound vibration. Tapa, that means perform tapasya. So, the Prabhupada also writes in the purport here, no creative activity can be possible without doing tapasya. In this world also we see that any creation, whether it is a, you know, small machine or whatever, the person has to, like electric bulb for example, they have to undergo a lot of tapasya to be able to create something. So here, of course, the tapasya Brahmaji performed was very severe. And when he was perfected with his tapasya, then he was empowered with all the knowledge, understanding, and the purpose of his existence. Everybody has a purpose, you know. Every individual has a purpose. And that purpose we can understand only through, only if we perform sufficient tapasya. That tapasya allows to understand one's purpose, but understanding purpose is not enough, that requires empowerment. So Brahmaji also got empowered by the Lord, so much empowerment that whatever he created appeared to be so natural that even Narada Muni was confused whether actually he is doing or is empowered. Somebody else is there. So every one of us at some point of time, we always think, what is this creation? Who am I? What is my purpose? Right? Am I right? All of us have this thought at one point of life at least, you know, not even all the time. And people generally have this, even as a child, we look at the sky and what is this? Yeah? What are these stars? What is this creation? Who am I doing? What am I doing? Similar to what Brahmaji went through when being created, he was also confused. So we also have the similar kind of a notion in us about our own existence, about our understanding, purpose, and the kind of ignorance that we live, you know. So to understand those things requires a lot of tapasya. That is the number one thing that we understand from Srila Prabhupada's purport here. And the second is, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, one may wonder why all this creation is explained. Because if Bhagavatam is about Lord Sri Krishna as the Supreme Lord and bhakti is the, you know, path to achieve Lord Krishna's lotus feet, then why the material world, the creation of material world is explained in such detail here? And why this discussion comes at all? Or should we bother about it or not? After all, this is all Maya, right? Illusory energy of Krishna. So, for people who live in this creation, it is very important to understand the creation and the purpose and the person behind it. Then there is an effort to actually understand Lord Krishna and serve Him. Otherwise, everything seems to be illusory, you know, including, you know, even we cannot understand Krishna in a better way if we don't understand the Maya, that illusory creation. So therefore, you see, the creation is explained in a very detailed way in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the question comes here. Of course, for us, you know, who don't have the access to the Vedic knowledge, we don't know who Lord Brahma is and how he created the planets and the universes, things like that, right? So the scientific community who are not part of the Vedic culture or the, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, have not taken the Srimad Bhagavatam, they also try to understand the creation. Yeah? It's like Prabhupada is, Narada is asking, my dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? And under whose protection are you standing? I mean, is there somebody superior to you? Are you the original person or there is somebody who created you? So the question is like that. So in this world, we say there is a lot of cause and effect. Like I was talking to Nityan Prabhu today morning to take some ideas about what is this creation according to Bhagavatam. I'll give a very nice perspective. I'll just try to explain whatever I, you know, heard from him a little bit. So there is a cause and there is an effect, right? You see a tree, the cause is the seed, right? And then this tree, it gives rise to seeds, which gives rise to another tree. That's how it is, right? So, the seed has a cause, there is a tree. The tree has a cause, there is a seed. The seed has an effect, there is a tree. Okay, the tree has an effect, there is a seed. So these are all intertwined, cause, effect. Cause is, it gives rise to effect, and cause is also effect of some other cause. So to understand creation, therefore the scientist, you know, or any ordinary being would like to understand what is the seed which is very small, tiny, and what is the tree which is very big. It makes sense? So one thing is Vibhu, that is the huge universe that we actually observe. Is this the cause? Or the tree is the cause? Or the seed is the cause? That's like chicken egg problem, you know. So they have to, therefore one has to study both. The big creation, full of galaxy and all these stars and all these things. And one also has to study this seed, which is very tiny. Therefore the scientists go very deep. You know, what is the seed and what are the molecules and what are the atoms and what is inside the atoms. So on and so forth, they go deeper, 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 deeper to understand what is the starting point. You know. And there are a lot of things, you know, I don't want to make Bhagavatam a science class. At the same time, it's Prabhupada speaking about the scientists, so a little bit we can try to understand what is their search or their research. And what is their conclusion. So they go very deep. And they thought, you know, they thought atom is the smallest particle from which everything else is coming. You know, this is, and therefore they gave the name atom. Atom literally means indivisible. That means that's it. There's nothing below atoms. Indivisible. You cannot divide atoms. But then they found the theory of, you know, electromagnetic theory came and they found actually they can split open the atoms. So their thought that it is indivisible changed. And they opened it. Then they saw inside there is a nucleus and there are electrons and there are protons. And they named the particle protons effectively because protons also means prototype. Prototype means the first. The first. It's not the second or anything below it. So they named proton thinking that this is the smallest particle. But then later they found even proton is divisible. Then they got very confused. They didn't give any further names which is indivisible or prototype. They started naming very, you know, like kind of, how would I explain? The names they gave, the quarks that actually make the protons, they named them in a very poetic way. You know, there is no logic anymore in those namings, nomenclature. So basically they're trying going deep and deep and deep and their confusion actually increasing. The complexity is increasing more and more and more. And not only that, the world within the atom, they behave so differently than the world that we see here. That created even more confusion among the scientists. Like we see, you know, if we're going in a vehicle, you know, like say at the speed of 40, and some other vehicles come from other side at the speed of 60, what we perceive, the vehicle is moving very fast, right? More than 60, like 100. 40 plus 60 adds up. That's the speed they pass through us. But then there are many things, complexities in the sciences. Then this is called relativity or relative speed. But if you replace that other vehicle which is coming at speed of 60 by a beam of light, for example, you know, light, then this speed doesn't add up. The light always moves at one speed only. It never changes. No matter how you move, you know, with it or without, you know, against it or up and down, whatever way we try out, no matter what is your speed, you always see the light speed is same, constant. That even bother confusing. So therefore they created a special theory of relativity and all those things, which actually gave many other discoveries which helps us in our GPS system and other things. There are tangible results that is coming out of those theories. But the confusion still remains, right? So all this behavior, they're trying to study the subatomic particles, trying to understand the light and other things, create a lot of confusion in the scientists. And they actually, at one point, this discovery that I'm speaking about, which happened like almost 100 years back, it is said the science has actually not gone beyond that. Whatever discoveries happened right there, right? Prabhuji has done PhD sitting here. Ballam Sakti Prabhu, am I right? It has not developed beyond those theories actually. And whatever discoveries you see, the effects we see because of those research, whether it's a mobile phone, whether it is AI, whatever you're seeing, is all the result of those research. But then, the scientists who discovered them, they all left behind very confused. In fact, many of them turned to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, trying to understand what it is. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam and the literatures, Vedic literatures which explains the creation, is of a lot of importance. Srila Prabhupada has actually created a whole department called BI, you know, Bhaktivinoda Institute, especially to study the creation. And in fact, he wanted, he has instructed to put this Vedic planetarium in Siddha Mayapur's main temple, our headquarters of ISKCON, world headquarters, Mayapur Dham, this structure of the universe. So, again, trying to understand in our own, you know, the best brain in this creation, in this world, that they actually kind of end up very confused. And they try to understand the bigger creation, the cosmos, the galaxies, that is even more, elusive. You know, it's so big, so huge, they cannot go beyond certain point. The time and space is very complicated. Anyway, so the point is, on our own, when you try to understand, the limits are too much confusing, and there is no conclusion. Whereas, when we study Bhagavatam, there seems to be some kind of understanding and conclusion. And there is a way to also appreciate this creation. Like Srila Prabhupada says, who is your father? Who is the father? Then his father, his father, his father. Then we will come to know that Krishna is the ultimate father, who has no father. So now, Brahma Samhita, same Brahmaji, who is actually going to explain all this to Narada Muni, Brahma Samhita, all these verses that we recite, he actually speaks, every verse he ends with Sarva Karanat, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamam Bhajami, Ishwara Panama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. Now this is where we kind of, the scientists and the general people, they kind of get a little confused. How can it be so? How can he doesn't have a father? How does it end like that? But there are situations within the science theory where things seem to be converging to one point, like in mathematics, a little bit more science, shall we speak. It's a little complicated, but I just request your attention. Little attention and you will be able to understand. It's not very big deal. Not very difficult. Very simple things. Like there is something called, they call infinite series. Yeah? A series that is infinite. Like you are saying, his father, his father, his father, his father. Right? I always say, doesn't end, right? Doesn't seem to be end. So there is a series called, you add half, 1/2, plus 1/4, that is half of half, plus 1/8, that is half of 1/8, plus 1/16, half of 1/8, like that. So you keep adding half plus 1/4 plus 1/16 plus 1/32 plus 1/64, go on adding. What will be the sum? Seems to be, it's going to, infinity way, but it seems to be converging. How? How it converges, like half is the first number, and the remaining numbers are half of each of them, like 0.25, 0.125, like that goes on. So if you add, last number will be probably zero, because you are dividing in such a huge number, like number below one will keep on increasing, The more the number below 1 increases, the number is lesser and lesser and lesser. The last number will be 0, probably. But it is not 0. It's some number. Somewhere down the line, okay. But if you actually see, it seems to be converging. And there is an equation which says this sum is actually equal to 1. It's called converging series. So there is an equation that can solve it. Some types of problems seems to be have a meaningful solution. My point is that actually. This series, although seems to be meaningless, you know, but there seems to be a meaningful solution, and mathematically we can find it is actually equal to 1. Because half plus half, if you add, and then it's naturally it will come to 1 only, right? You can think of it in the mind. If you just think little, extend yourself, how much it will come? It will come to 1, right? So if there is something which seems to be infinitely, you know, series which is not seems to be have a solution, but if you look at it in another way, it has a solution. That's called a converging series. If it is diverging, then there is no solution. There are converging. And this seems to be father, 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 there has to be one father. Okay? Who's the cause of father? It is a solution lies within that question only, right? And Lord Brahma explains that he is that Supreme Krishna, beautiful Govinda, who is the cause of all causes. And in this way, when you understand that immense personality, Krishna, then we understand, who is this Krishna? Now we started the class by speaking about how to understand creation, you have to go smaller than the smallest and the bigger than the biggest, right? And somewhere in between also. Because some tree, they can outgrow the parent tree, right? Big. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that that he is in the heart of all living entities, right? Isvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridaya Sarjana Tishtanti. That is where Krishna explains that how he is within us. Like we are body, but beyond body senses, beyond and go further down, then we are actually Atma, spirit soul. And within the spirit soul, Krishna can stay as Paramatma. That means he can take a form which is even smaller than us. It's like that, smaller than the smallest. And it is bigger than the biggest. In Bhagavad Gita only, in the 14th chapter, he shows his Vishwarup to Arjuna, which not everybody could see. But Arjuna could see that Vishwarup, such exhaustive, expansive, unlimited, that we cannot fathom. He actually saw that. Huge. I mean, this is Vishwarup. So, universal form. It is a form, but universal. Like a universe. Everything happening within that. He even saw the war happening in that. Everything happening within that. So, when you try to see the whole creation, how do you conceive it, you know? You have to see everything within that. And Krishna showed that to Arjuna's life. Right there. So, he is also Vibhu. Bigger than the biggest. And there is Krishna himself, the two-handed form, the Shyamchandra form, who actually is able to manifest or explain that how he is the person, Sarva Karana Karanam, whether it is the Bihu or it is smaller than the smallest. So these are all inconceivable things, you know, in one sense. At the same time, understanding this, you know, makes us very humble. The whole creation itself makes us humble. What to speak of understanding, you know. We feel insignificant, right? We feel confused, without a purpose. So therefore, understanding itself kind of gives us some understanding how humble or how insignificant we are. The more we know, like, you know, big scientists actually admit, the more we try to know, the more we become humble. That how much we don't know. The more we know, they get a sense of how much more to be known or how much they don't know. And Newton, Sir Isaac Newton, he said, actually, you know, I'm trying to, the ocean is vast and huge and I'm on the beach picking few pebbles here and there. Few pebbles of knowledge. So, what to speak of how much we don't know. But within that, when we understand that Lord Krishna is actually the origin of everything, then our determination or conviction to serve, to, you know, to understand and to understand what is beyond this becomes more meaningful. Okay. So, are there any questions at this point before I continue? Any thoughts or any questions? Nityananda, would you like to add something? Am I missing something? Anything? Anybody would like to? Balam Shakti Prabhu? Anything? No? Yes. Satyananda Prabhu. Can you pass the mic?
Prabhuji, as you were mentioning about Krishna's one of the quality that anor aniyam matomaniya. He can also become smaller than the soul. So we were discussing few days back that the soul, the super soul, is situated in the soul, or it is situated with the along with the soul.
Yeah, this is, I don't know the answer, honestly speaking. This is very technical. He says, Hridayasya Arjuna Tishtati. I am there in the region of the heart, right? Hridayasya, desa means the region, Hridaya means the heart. So around heart somewhere is existing. But because it is smaller than the smallest, even the Atma is the, you know, 1/10, that whole number is there. But Krishna can be even smaller than that. Super. Soul, super soul. Super soul means what? Even more. Because, you know, the more the, you go more tinier in, within the atom, like, there is atomic energy, there is nuclear energy. I don't know whether you know what is that. I preach in the BRC, the scientist, nuclear scientist, so I know something about. I don't know how many of you know the difference between an atom bomb and a hydrogen bomb. Anybody knows? Okay. So one is a nuclear, we call it basically nuclear bomb both. But atom bomb is what? But they split the atom and you harness the energy. Or split the nucleus to harness the energy. Just like to blast a cracker, you need a matchstick, right? The matchstick is the trigger. That you matchstick, you to get the fire, that fire is the trigger for the cracker to blow, right? And then you bring many, many such crackers together, they become trigger for something called TNT, or the TNT they explode in the war, the bombs. Many crackers, they have to create certain temperature for the bomb to blow. So that temperature for a cracker, the matchstick temperature is enough. But for the bigger bomb, you need more crackers together to blow it off. They become the trigger. And you need a lot of TNT to break up on the atom bomb, nuclear. They become the trigger. And then you experience the huge energy of the atom bomb coming out. And for hydrogen bomb, you need atom bombs as a trigger. Because there they have to merge, like what is happening in the sun, two hydrogen bomb comes together, nucleus merges and the energy is released. That is called hydrogen bomb basically. Two proton comes together or they become merged and they become one nucleus. Nucleus is created. For that merging to happen, atom bomb becomes the trigger. You can imagine hydrogen is even more explosive. Why am I telling all these things? It's because the more tiny you go inside, the powerful it is. So once a super soul, it is more powerful. Why? Because it can be tinier than the soul. This is how my understanding goes. So, smaller than the smallest. The super soul can be even smaller than the soul. Therefore, it is more powerful, super. This is one understanding. I don't know. Nityantro, yes.
Thank you, Radha Vanda Prabhu. You are entering into the heart of the people and triggering them to ask questions and comments. So, this particular thing about Krishna entering into the soul, there is some discussion among the philosophers. Some gives the logic that a thing can enter into another thing. There has to be two conditions. One is that which enters should be smaller than the in which it is entering. Second, in which it is entering, that has to have parts. In avayava. So, just like if you put the peanuts are there in that shell. So, the shell has two parts. You open it and inside the peanut is there. So the shell has to have two parts, avayava should be there, and the peanut should be smaller. These are the two conditions. So when it comes about Krishna entering into the Atma, from Krishna's side, he is smaller than the smallest. He is small, that's not a problem. But then the soul, Atma, does it have any parts? Unless it has parts, the small cannot enter inside. So the Atma is the smallest of all small part and it doesn't have any parts in itself. Like we have got hand, head like that. The Atma doesn't have any avayava. So that's why some Vaishnava acharyas, they say that don't contradict the logic of the, pratyaksha world, outside world. So Krishna, rather than entering into the Atma, he is just surrounding the Atma. He is there next to the Atma. So that is what is called as Krishna is entering the Atma. But other Vaishnava acharyas, they say that why we should support this, the outside world's logic. Krishna is Achintya Shakti. Even the Atma doesn't have a parts, avayava, still he can enter inside. So Prabhupada takes that particular stand. In Gita purport, Prabhupada says, Krishna enters into the tiny living entity's heart, tiny spirit soul's heart, and he is situated there as Paramatma. So, in one sense, the soul is all-pervading, Krishna is also all-pervading. He is within the spirit soul, as well as next to the spirit soul. So, I think we can have some kind of thoughts, maybe the learned devotees can throw further light.
Thank you for that. Nice analogy of peanut and super soul. Yes. So, our Prabhu, Raman Prabhu, Rasik Raman Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for making it very interesting. The cause-effect chain and the scientific examples. So, proton, they said the first one. But now, recently, there was some years back, there was talk of the God particle. So, again, I think it's going in that direction.
Yeah.
So, any thoughts on that or any?
God particle. Actually, my studies went back 25 years probably. 30 years. So, I haven't reached till God particle yet. Then you have to reopen the books. Yeah, but I heard about it a little bit. But if you know something, you can share here. It'll be nice. Nadma, you can share.
No, I have not read in detail, but the idea is that I think they are in search of God. So, therefore, God comes into picture even in search of particles.
Yeah. That's right. Prabhu?
I mean, I have nothing to say about God particles, but about God, I mean, that fact about size is actually, in one sense, if you see the size of the Paramatma, Bhagavatam says Pradesha Matram. One Pradesha is about 8-9 inches like that. That is the size. So that whole concept of something has to be smaller than something else to enter it, those considerations are very valid in material forms. Mm-hmm. But in spiritual forms, the whole concept of like, for example, there is a discussion in Jaiva Dharma about one question that is asked is, the Shastras describe about Krishna having a madhyamakara form, a medium-sized form. Mm. So how can that be all-pervading? Because form means it has to be contained within a particular perimeter. You know, as a circular form means it has to have a fixed radius. You cannot say infinite, the radius is infinite meters and it is circular. You cannot, you know, it's not possible. So the size of Krishna is described in the Shastras. So at the same time, how can you say that he is all pervading? You know, this defies logic. And the answer is, yeah, it defies material logic. But spirit is not bound by material laws. This contradiction that form and pervasion, this is contradictory to matter, but this is not contradictory to spirit. Mm-hmm. So, the Paramatma has the size of one Pradesha, but he can still actually Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastha. That is possible. Mm-hmm. It is not possible for matter, but it is possible for spirit. These, like the second theory that Nityanand Prabhu said, that is the stance our acharyas, they seem to take that stance. You know, that that kind of a contradiction is contradiction for matter, but it is not contradiction for spirit. So, it's achintya shakti, achintya. Like that.
Nityantru, just behind you, Nityantru.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
First of all, let us thank Prabhuji for giving so much in-depth knowledge. Now, I would say what we are thinking is from the relative knowledge. So this is spiritual knowledge, right? For the spiritual knowledge, it is said that it is a transcendental knowledge. So it is out of question for us to hear about it.
Can you repeat what Prabhu said?
He's saying that relative knowledge, I mean, these kinds of consideration can be there, but it's absolute knowledge. So, yeah. Same thing what Balram Shakti.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So, one thing I wanted to conclude is, again, I was discussing with Nityanand Prabhu in the morning only, that how Krishna, that Madhyam you are saying, Madhyam form, how can Madhyam be infinite at the same time, smaller than the smallest, Krishna's, his form. So, that, like yesterday, His Holiness Narayana Swami Maharaj was speaking, that how Krishna reciprocates all the cowherd boys, right? They're sitting. And everybody was thinking Krishna is paying attention to him. And that love, loving experience is happening. And everybody thinking they're special and Krishna is with them, right? in a loving spirit. There is no pride or no, you know, feeling better than others, things like that. So Krishna is same form, Madhyama, one form. Chintantu was telling me yesterday morning. And how he was reciprocating with all the coward boys simultaneously. It's a chintya. So in a material thing, we cannot think of this. How can one person, you know, just simultaneously reciprocate? But Krishna has that ability and he displayed that. That is recorded. He displayed that quality. So in this way, so when you speak of Vibhu or Anu or Madhyam, everything converges, you know, like that mathematical series. It converges to one person, that is Lord Sri Krishna, who is infinite, smaller than the smallest, and the person like Gopinath, same form, is all Krishna, Sarva Karana Karana. Thank you for all your nice attentive, you know, in this class. Is, I know it's a little complicated, but I appreciate all of your attention. Yes, Mataji, sorry, I didn't see you.
Thank you for the wonderful class. I was wondering about the soul and the body, because we have the five layers of being. From the soul, we have Anandamaya Kosha and Vijnanamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Pranamaya, and we come to Annamaya Kosha, which is the physical body. So I'm thinking, actually the physical body is coming from the soul, is an extension from the soul. And just like the five elements, like, you know, in Akash, we have all the other elements within that. So in one sense, I'm thinking, how is that Prabhupada is so much saying that we are not the body, but actually the body is coming from an extension from the soul. So in one sense, the body is also the soul. So I was really thinking, like, I like to see the philosophy and not just like accept it, but like want to like understand it. So we have a certain body, but it is coming from the soul. So can you explain this, please?
Krishna expressed in Gita, 7th chapter, Momen appa nala vayu khammana vadrepacha ahankarityame bhinna prakriti astada. That's the word bhinna is very important there. That these energies, earth, water, air, fire, ether, and all these elements that we are speaking about, Annamaya Kosh, they are Vinna Prakriti. It's a nature, but nature is different from the soul. They are Vinna Prakriti Dastada. Aparyam itastvanya Prakriti me vidhi. The next verse says that there is another Prakriti which is different from this Prakriti, and that is Atma. So, body is not exactly the expansion of Atma. The body is expansion of Krishna, and Atma is also expansion of Krishna. We are children of Krishna as Atma. And the nature is also expansion of Krishna, which is Vinna Prakriti. And we are within that Prakriti, entangled within that Prakriti. So, in this way, the body is actually separate from the Atma. It is not Atma as such. But it is covered. One Prakriti is covering the other Prakriti. The whole process of spiritual life is how to overcome this Vinna Prakriti Astada. That eight elements we have to actually overcome gradually. Again, by purifying the Anna Prakriti, the food that we eat, we have to purify by offering to Krishna. And then by chanting mantras, we purify our mind, you know. So like that, the body gets purified, the senses get purified, then gradually we actually come out of that kosa and get liberated. Kosa means also, if you look at the silk om, it's called kosa. It is entangled within. Finally the om comes as a butterfly and breaks the cell and flies out. So all these kosas you have to, one after other, you have to actually penetrate and come out and experience the real freedom that is outside the kosa. Huh? Yeah. Thank you. I think it's 9:15, we'll stop here. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.
outside world, you know, the terminology used, it's not rocket science. So we should say it now. It's not Bhagavatam science. It's not complicated as a second.